Welcome to Trans Experience, the podcast where we celebrate trans experience as part of the human experience. We're Madison and LG, two trans women diving into everyday life, politics, pop culture, relationships, and more.
Being trans is just one part of who we are. Join us as we laugh, learn, and share stories that remind everyone we're not so different after all.
Hi there, it's Madison.
And this is LG.
So excited to be with you guys in the new year.
Hi. Yay!
Happy New Year, Merry yes. Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Winter Solstice, Happy
Winter
Hanukkah,
Solstice.
Yes.
Solstice. So she a witch.
I am.
She a witch and a bitch. She's a bitch.
So yeah,
witch.
Like I think this is our first episode of the new year, right?
You think?
I think it is.
If you just think and don't know, we have a bigger issue. Because I don't know who the fuck you recording, who you betraying me with and you're recording
Listen,
with that you're like, is this our
up.
First one?
I can't keep up, right? Anyways.
Nice.
I know. I'm excited. It's kind of exciting. So anyways, so I think today's topic we decided was going to, I think the title that we decided on is Don't Be So Defensive, It's Just Love.
So this title comes from a conversation that we had today because Maddie did pay for my nails today. Nails sponsored by Madison. So we were talking and I'm blessed enough to be in a relationship today, mm-hmm. you know, which is something that I always thought I wanted. Mm-hmm. Hence on the past tense. Not really. I'm enjoying myself. And I think that there's a lot of fear when it comes to being in a relationship. And one of the things that we wanted to drift away, and not really drift away, but just make sure that we recognize is that, again, we made it clear throughout the last year that the trans experience is a human experience. And I'm pretty sure that love is hard for anyone, for all spectrums of it. You know what I mean? There's different hues of it. And not just the romantic love, but how do you accept love from others? Like, how can we put our guards down and allow ourselves to be loved? And here's the thing, like, it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And it might not hurt. It might be the best experience ever or the worst experience ever. But you'll never know if you don't dive into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that sometimes because of traumas from the past or past experiences, you know, like, or lack of self-esteem, lack of confidence, then we believe, like, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think from our conversation that we had earlier at the nail salon, it was, I mean, that poor guy, he was trying to do our nails while we were talking about all the, like, the craziest things about love. Kind of hilarious. He didn't really actually pay attention to anything. If he did hear us, he really didn't, like...
He did. He was did. Being really professional. That's just it, bitch. Some motherfuckers can do their job and be professionals.
I can't.
Madison. Definitely me.
Right? So, no, but we were talking, and, like, I have realized that, like, I am not open to love. You know, like, I have... And this is even before mom passing. Like, I have shut myself down because... The love that I saw, like, in my family and stuff, like, it wasn't, I mean, my grandparents, yes, but, like, outside of that, like, my family, like, there's never been, like, in friends, like, there's never been a healthy show of love in there, you know, like, there's always been some kind of, like, adultery or just, my mom was in a really domestic violent relationship when I was in my younger years, and so, like, I just haven't seen healthy love in a long time, if ever, really. And so, like, I don't know what a healthy love is. And so now I'm at a point now at 40 years old where I am so happy on my own. And, like, I've put this wall up, and not just a wall to even protect myself, but also, like, I don't want it. And then out of nowhere, someone I had been with 4 years ago at the height of my addiction came across my path about a year ago. And, you know, we kind of, like, start talking again. We haven't actually, like, hung out or seen each other. But, you know, we've touched up. You know, like, I've told him about my sobriety journey, about, like, you know, my trans journey. And, you know, it's like he's super supportive of all of it. And I'm pushing him away for absolutely no reason other than I just don't want to fuck up my peace.
Well, and this is the funny thing. Because as we were talking about this individual, I said, well, if you don't want them, just send them my way, right? Because
no.
I am in the relationship and I'm quite faithful. But, you know, if she's going to fucking just throw it away.
Ah.
So Maddie's response to that was like, well, I didn't say I didn't want him.
I didn't.
So, you know, like subconsciously, we are open to it, but something blocks us from that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the fears, it's the cognitions, the notations that we have from past experiences that don't allow us to mm-hmm. fully embrace being loved and allowing this the fear of being hurt. And here's the thing, like, we take, well, like I told Maddie, hold up, I told you, because Maddie was like, well, I don't know, and I'm not certain. And I'm like, well, bitch, here's the thing, like, every time you get in your car, you have the faith that those motherfuckers driving around you are going to fucking follow the rules, and you have faith that whatever happens, you have insurance. Today, we have a spiritual insurance that comes through the program that we both do that tells us, look, it's not going to be rainbow and butterflies, but you have the tools to cope with it.
But to that point, I know that getting in my car every day is a hazard. It's a risk, right? But I know that, because I've already been in a pretty serious accident, like, I know that it affected me physically. Falling in love with someone and getting hurt does not hurt me physically. That hurts me emotionally, right? Spiritually, mentally. Like, I would rather have the pain, the physical pain that I went through already with that first car accident. I would do that again over getting my heart broke. You know what I mean? And, like, that's my barrier. That's my defense, right?
And I totally get that. Here's the thing. My first two relationships, the first one was a shit show. I was possessive. I was manipulative. I was toxic. Doesn't even begin to describe it. I was a weapon of chemical mass destruction. You know what I mean? Like, that's how toxic my level was. And the thing is that I actually ended up relapsing as an excuse for that breakup. You know what I mean? And once I look back at it, it hurt me a lot. And it's the kind of pain that you feel on your skin and you want to rip it apart. And there's no pill in the world that will take that fucking pain away. And it was really painful for me. But also, I grew a lot from that. You know what I mean? It was definitely a blessing in disguise because it showed me my character's defects and the things that I needed to change for myself. When I got into my second relationship, it was 90% of that relationship was marvelous. It was loving. It was respectful. And it was everything that I wanted in a guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he treated me like a fucking queen. Towards the end of it, he realized that it's not what he wanted. And I was hurt by that.
Yeah.
But my reaction to it was no longer the way that I reacted with my first relationship because I had had experience, because I had grow a little bit, you know, emotionally. So I would say the 10% of that relationship was bad for me. But even at its worst, that relationship was still healthy because we talked to each other with respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, it does hurt. But with both relationships, I learned a ton. You know, like with the first one, I learned my character's defects. And I learned that I am worthy of being somebody's girlfriend, that I am worthy of somebody holding my hand. And with my second relationship, I learned that, you know what, like people do want you, people do love you, and people are willing to give you a chance, but I had to give them a chance. And the other thing that I learned from that relationship was that I had grown as an individual, as mm-hmm. like emotionally. That I no longer needed someone attached to me in order for me to survive. Because even though it hurt, it wasn't a hopeless kind of pain. Mm-hmm. Because I understood that at the end of the day, I have to be okay. And that I don't need somebody else to make me feel those things. It's great to have someone by your side. Mm-hmm. But I think that before I could get into a relationship, I had to build myself up. You know, and the fears, to be honest with you, like the fear is still there. The fear is not going away. But today I'm embracing that fear and I'm pushing forward with it because here's the thing, like, so I told you this with my boyfriend. He is from Mexico and he said, like, well, in 5 years, I'm going to Mexico. You know what I mean? And here's the thing, like, it took me forever to jump that border, especially being a big girl. Like, I ain't planning to do that shit no more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So going back to something like that, it's not something that I'm planning on. Whatever the future has for me, it has for me. But it has already been said that he's leaving in 5 years. Now, I can either be like, well, you know what? Let's break this up right now because I'm not willing to take the chance. Or I could take the chance and enjoy the ride. You know what I mean? Like,
but see, hold on. So, like, I forgot the first thing I was going to say. So, to that point, though, like, just because you don't take this ride doesn't mean the other ride is not enjoyable. Right? Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like, I can say no to this man and still have a very full and happy life. Like, I don't need to be in a relationship to be complete, right? And you're not saying that at all. I'm saying for me, like, I believe that I can have both things at the same time. I just need to figure out that balance of what it looks like for me, because I feel like it looks different for everybody, right? And so even though we know that this man is leaving in 5 years, like, that's a decision you're going to make at that point in time when that bridge comes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know those answers right now. And so even if you weren't going to enjoy your time with him, you're still going to have a pretty damn good life without him, mm-hmm. right? Because things are pretty good from what I see of you, you know?
They are.
So, but that's what I'm saying. Like, my life is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I love my everyday life. Like, work stresses me out a little bit because it challenges me more in ways than I thought I would when I got the job, which is actually a good thing, right? But, like, there are some days where I'm just, like, frazzled because I'm still learning at the same time, even though I have, you know, this job. And so, like, I just think that I can have both things at the same time, right? And I just want someone that I can, like, that our lives fold into each other. We don't have to change too much. Like, right now, I'd have to give up a lot to be in a committed relationship, you know, and I don't know how much of my life I want to give up for someone. And that tells me that I'm not ready for love.
Well, see, on my behalf, like, I don't think that I'm giving anything up.
Mm-hmm. But see, that's how you know that you're actually, like, you're into this. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you're not seeing it that way like I see it. I'm seeing it as I have to give something up. I shouldn't feel like that if this is something I really want. Like, well, you're making time for your boyfriend.
My question is this, like, is it because you don't want to give anything up, or is that your way to, is that the boundary or the wall that you're putting up? Because, like, well, I really enjoy this. And if I haven't, like, do you think that you're looking for excuses not to allow this guy in and just, like, as a barrier to protect yourself and your emotions? Because I thought the same thing, because, like, I have a nice, pretty sized closet and I have a queen size bed. Okay. And I'm a big girl. Again, so, like, for me at the beginning, it was like, I don't want to share time or space with anyone because I love my independence. And I do. You know, I have a great fucking life today, and I'm not going to deny that. Mm-hmm. But I like having someone that I can talk to at the end of the day and that is expecting my call.
Yeah.
You know, I love getting those little text messages, you know, during the day, like, hey, love, how you doing? Like,
those things annoy me. Damn. Like, they do. They do.
So look at here, Cruella DeVille.
Those things, so they, like, just, like, ugh.
I thought that was just a Christmas Grinch, but there's a love Grinch, too.
They feel fake to me.
And see, and that, there we go. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Because they feel fake to you because you cannot believe them. Because there's something that's telling you, like, it can't be true. Not for me. And I think that that's what changed in me. Because it's like, I can't believe that someone can be genuine and telling me, hey, I missed you. Hey, I've been thinking about you. Because I've reshaped my life and I live a different life than I did 3 years ago to where I know that's the helicopter coming for you.
Is it? Oh,
they
God.
Heard you were crazy. So
they heard me trying to take the third cat home.
Right, bitch? So this is the thing. Like, I believe it for myself today because I've done the freaking work for me to be worthy and for me to feel worthy, not based on my achievements, not based on the anything exterior, but based on the person that I am today. Like, I know that I'm worthy. You know what I mean? So when someone tells, and here's the thing, I'm not saying, like, there's not those people out there that just want to, like, sweet talk into your ear. You know what I mean? I totally get it. And of course there is. But today, like, I've built myself up enough to know who's being real and who's being fake. Because they fall on their own. You know what I mean? Someone that just wants to lie to you and just bullshit you. Like, by this time, we've been with him for, like, about... We've known each other for 3 months, dated for 2 months. And for the past month, he's been coming, like, every weekend to spend the night. You know what I mean? So little by little, we're building shit up. And I'm crazy. You know, I throw tantrums and I'm childish as fuck. And he puts up with my shit. I told you about the one time I didn't want it to see him. So I was like, you know what? We can't this weekend.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you there. So because the same situation happened to me, but I told the guy, like, I just don't want to see you. Flat out. You, on the other hand, Miss Lady, decided to tell them what?
That I had a situation with my nephew.
Okay. So see, this is also the thing where I'm not afraid to be honest with him about how I feel, right? Like, he knows that I am not in it for the same reasons he is, and I don't think it's fair to him to put that kind of energy into me because I'm not going to reciprocate the feeling. I feel like even though I'm being honest with him, I'm doing him a favor too by being an open book.
I don't think that you're being dishonest with him. I think that you're being dishonest with yourself.
Ooh.
Because let me tell you why. So, Maddie, you have an event coming up with your volleyball team.
Kickball
team. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of your good friends. Mm. Would you say that? Would you say that I'm one of your good friends?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would like to know who got an invitation to go with you to Las Vegas for this tournament that you're going to go to. Please tell our list. No, bitch. There's no. Hold up. No. Just tell. Say who you invited to go with you.
I invited him.
Okay, so Exhibit A, Your Honor. Exhibit A. So subconsciously, this bitch does want that, but she keeps trying.
Hold on. I only invited him because we had Here made you plans. Go. We had made plans, and literally 10 minutes before he was about to walk out the door of his place to come stay the night at my place, I said, I actually don't want to see you today. I said, I apologize. I said, but I'm just not in the mood. I'm good. I'm going to hang out at home. So then I realized that, hold on, I might be pushing him too far, right? Because I have not decided if this is what I want or not.
Exactly my point.
But I'm strong enough to say the truth, right? I'm able to say this is
how I feel.
But
she's still codependent to invite him somewhere because she feels guilty. Bitch, bye.
So then I decided that since him and I have not spent any real time together since I got sober, I'm a different person, and I think that a weekend in Vegas would be good because I've already been to Vegas once. I know how to do it. It's fine. I'm not worried about that part. I think it'd be good for him and I to spend time with me, who I am today, as opposed to the person that he thinks I was 4 years ago.
And I think that that's a great step because you're being open to that. You know what I mean? But I do think, and this is me taking your inventory, which I shouldn't do.
But you always do.
Exactly. So get used to it. Get up right. So my point is that at the end of the day, like, you do are coming up with excuses not to jump into this. You know what I mean? And that better be Jesus. And that's my phone, bitch.
Is it him? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? I think it's Jesus.
No, it's Marco.
Oh, hi, Marks.
Paulo. So, I should have taken that call.
Did you just ignore it?
Yes.
But you ignored it.
But I will text them right now.
I won't. Never mind. Can you turn this shit off already?
No, bitch. I have a boyfriend.
Oh, my God. Shit. All of a sudden, here we are in love and shit.
And that's the thing. I don't think that I'm in love yet, but I do think that I really appreciate having time with. And here's the thing. Like,
new love, it's always fun the first 3 months. It's always fun.
And we are having a blast.
Exactly. And you know I mean? Love
but,
this for you.
But I think that this is the first time that I'm with a guy, like, in a relationship or in any type of way, where I'm not like, I have to be in love. I have to be in love. And I have to love him. And I have to tell him that I love him. Because I haven't said that. In Spanish, we have this word that says te quiero, which means I care
taquitos.
For you. No, not taquito, you fat bitch. No. You would think I'm the one that mixed up that word. But no, it was this white girl. Anyways. I do want some taquitos.
They sound good.
But you know what I mean? Like, and that word just means I care about you. And I've said that a lot to him. But I cannot find myself to say I love you because that's not how I feel. But I do care about him. And I enjoy the time that we have together. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning. I'm getting to know him. And he's getting to know me. And so far, what I see from him, I like. What he sees from me, he likes. And what I was going to say is like that fight that we had. Where he didn't talk to me for like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, not 2 weeks, 2 days.
2 days.
And I was like, because, you know, I'm grown. I'm mature. So I was like, hey, Marky Mark. You need to talk to me. We need to communicate. If you're upset about something and you don't tell me, you're not giving me the chance to correct it. You know, he was like, you're right, whatever. Fast forward to this. It was a Thursday or I think it was Thursday or the day before Thursday. I guess something happened at work and he was not, you know, in the mood. And I'm always, you know.
You're always in the mood?
I'm always in the fuckery. You know, like, I'm always fucking around. I'm always, like telling him shit. And that day he was like, look, I had a bad day at work. And sometimes I just call you because I want to talk to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to see how your day was going. And sometimes you're my resting place. So when you behave this way, he's like, when you behave this way, it takes away from what I'm trying to do.
I will say, you goof off too much
during
serious times.
Yeah, I do. I do. It's my, it's a trauma defense mechanism.
Trauma response, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That exactly that.
That's
you
why,
know?
That's why I'm the white girl.
Exactly. That's why she's got a master's and I barely working on my AA. So when he told me that, here's the thing, like being the independent, strong woman that I am, I don't like anyone to call me out on my shit. You know what I mean? And when he stopped me, first of all, I was like, ooh, alpha male. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
give
but
it
then,
to me, Daddy.
Right. But then like the maturity that he has for his age.
Girl, don't even start with me. Don't even come for me right now.
For him to come at me like that and being so assertive and calm, you know what I mean? Like
setting boundaries.
I wanted to be upset, but I couldn't.
On.
A little bit, but I had to. But I had to hear what he was saying, and it's about compromising. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm learning right now with him. It's about compromising.
Do you think it's harder for us to compromise because we're just human beings, and human beings in general have a hard time compromising? Or do you think it's because we have this addict behavior that we are trying so hard to get out of? Like, do you think compromise is just tough for everybody in general, or do you think it's harder for people that suffer through this addiction?
I think that it's not just with addiction, because like we've known, especially you and I mm-hmm. being in the rooms, we've gotten to know that addiction is only a side effect mm-hmm. from the rooted issues that usually come from past traumas, from the cognitive map that we've created ourselves due to our experiences. So I think that it all depends on your childhood. It all depends on all of these vast, you know, like conceptions that we don't even stop to think about sometimes. And when it comes to compromising, sometimes pride gets on the way, fear gets on the way, and this sense of like, well,
my ego's big. I have a big ego. I have a problem with that.
And you know what? Like, here's the thing. Like, I struggle with that sometimes. You know, I told you the fuck up that I did today at work because I went in there like really like this is how it's gonna be and y'all gonna do this.
Yeah.
And I didn't take into consideration anybody else but my own feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So learning to compromise is hard, not just for an addict, but just as a human being.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's the only way you feel safe. That's the way that's what has kept you safe for so long, is not compromising.
Mm-hmm.
But then you understand that when it comes to effective communication, when it comes to setting boundaries and all of that, you have to compromise. Not everything has to be my way all mm-hmm. the time. And when he set that boundary, I was like, you're right, and I'm sorry. You know what I mean? However, every time we talk and he starts like saying something dumb, I'm like, look, I had a bad day at work. And sometimes I only call you. He starts laughing.
You're such a bitch.
I am, because here's the humor is my self-defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's where I feel comfortable and where, you know, like when things are too serious, like I always have to crack a joke because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm lucky to have someone that understands that. And here's the thing, like
I'm right here.
Not just him. And that's exactly what I was gonna say. Because sometimes it's not just being open to love, you know, mm-hmm. romantically, but being open to love someone as a friend, as a coworker, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, yes, because I will take criticism from some people, I won't take it from everybody. You know what I mean? And so this definitely opens up a door. Like, I will allow certain people to love me where I am. I won't allow everybody to, right? Like, this guy who's been trying for the last, like, 6 months to really, like, you know, start something up again because we had so much fun in the past. I feel like we can't have the same kind of fun because I'm sober now, right?
Exactly.
Like, and he's 100% on board with it, respects it. He has, you know, whatever. And so, like we never drink or use together. So, like, that's not a thing either. Like, we weren't running around the streets together, you know? But I think that like my sister, you and my friend Sean, maybe my sponsor once in a while, like I don't open myself up to allow them to criticize me or tell me that I could do better. Right. I'll take it from a certain core people. I don't let just everybody tell me, hey, you probably should do better. You know what I mean? Like, cause I'm already so hard on myself. I don't need outside voices
mm-hmm.
also chiming in, especially when I feel like I'm failing at something, you know? And I think this is why this kickball league has been so good for me, because I've noticed myself opening up to other people that I don't know for suggestions. Now, while on surface, it might just be, oh, let's, you know, try kicking the ball like this, right? That's a surface level stuff. But on a deeper level, I'm allowing people to mold me into someone better, right? And I'm taking these little tips in kickball, and I'm allowing myself to open up to people that I never would have allowed myself to open up to. And so I think that now with this person, I'm having to realize that I've been slowly opening myself up to people that I normally wouldn't, mm-hmm. right? I'm opening myself up to criticism and feedback and taking it, right? And I never would have done that before. And so now that he's here and he's trying to be a part of my life in a different way, I'm like, whole, like I pumped the brakes, right? Like I'm going too fast. Holy shit, I didn't realize I was growing so fucking much, you know?
And it's beautiful because here's the thing. Like, so I have the supervisors that I have today. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. I love them because they know how to come at me and give me positive feedback mm-hmm. and as well as positive criticism. And it's easy for me to take it from them because of their approach. Mm-hmm. I think that I've built a circle around myself of people that know me well enough to approach me in the right way. Mm-hmm. Does that mean everyone approaches me like that? No. But I've also learned that I can learn the same thing from a 5-year-old that I can from an 80-year-old, mm-hmm. from a rich person to a homeless guy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I just have to be open because sometimes I'm close to the feedback because the truth hurts. Mm-hmm. And to hear it from someone that you don't like, it hurts even more. Mm-hmm. But once I take the messenger away and I take the message, it's easier for me to receive whatever it is that they're trying to mm-hmm. to help me with. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, like there's when someone criticizes you, there's always a 50% chance that what they're saying is truth. And the only reason you're rejecting it is because you don't want to hear it from them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
100%.
But once I shut down the messenger and I take it from my higher power using this vessel to come and tell me like, bitch, you fucking up, then it makes it easier for me. Now, can I catch it on real time all the time? Of course not. But it's something that I've worked on too. And again, when it comes to building relationships, I have to be okay with someone reshaping me. You know what I mean? Miss Regina, she's one person. Like I wasn't going to meetings as much as I used to. And she told one of my friends, she was like, well, you know, I guess she's recovered. I guess she doesn't need these fucking meetings anymore.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like back in the day, I would have been like, how dare she? Mm-hmm. But if I'm honest with you, that's the same shit she says to my face. Mm-hmm. So this person didn't come and tell me something new. She told me something that was already had been said to me. So instead of me taking it as any other then, I took it as positive feedback in things that I can improve. Mm-hmm. For the past 3 weeks, I've been going to meetings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it feels good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Why? Because I'm able to see the truth behind other person's mm-hmm. words. I'm able to see their motives. And here's the thing. Ms. Regina loves the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? My supervisors love the fuck out of me. Mm-hmm. And today I'm able to see that because I'm able to accept their love. And I have to understand that love comes with correction. You know what I mean? Love is not just like, oh, let me let you do whatever the fuck you want. No, if you truly love me, you're going to pull me back and say, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to reel it in. The way that Marcos did that day. And he was like, hey, I don't need your bullshit right now. Yeah. Practically, that's what he said.
Well, and like, I mean, I definitely have those people. Right? Like, you have to have a very special place in my life for me to come to you and allow you to speak to me in a sense like, this is what you could have done better this time. You know, like, I, in my own fantasy world, I'm great at compromise. Truth be told, no, I'm not. But, you know what I mean? Like, I convince myself sometimes that I am, but then there's also that part of me that's so self-aware of the choices I'm making that I also understand, like, okay, I think I'm good at compromise, but in actuality, I'm not, because over the last 3 times that I could have compromised, I didn't, right? Especially at work, you know? And so I'm having to take all this self-awareness that I have and actually apply it. And so trying to do that while involving, you know, everybody else's feedback also can be a lot at once, right? So, like, I need to, like, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Like, I'm having to learn to do the one bite at a time, right? And I feel like with this guy, like, I can keep doing that, but I also don't want to push him so far away that he just is no longer interested at all. You know, like I need to figure out how I can get myself there with him so that I can try this out. So I can take this risk. Cause I told you that earlier in the nail salon, like sometimes the reward isn't worth the risk. Right. And so like, I really have to get over that. Cause I've only been in one relationship my entire life. One. Mm-hmm. And that man was so good to me. Right. He took me out places I'd never been. he showed me off. He didn't just, like, walk into the place with me. Like, he fucking showed me off, right? Like, I'm convinced that that's what I want again. And maybe it's not, because obviously it didn't work out, right? You know, for, there's a myriad of reasons. But I will never speak ill of him, because he was never bad to me. He was mm-hmm. never a bad boyfriend, right? I didn't even know how to be in a relationship, let's be honest, right? Like, I was still dealing with some bullshit. I was still making excuses. I was still lying to people. I think I even cheated on him at one point. Like, definitely wasn't, like, full sex, but it was enough to call it cheating. Let's just be clear, right?
This bitch making
there
excuses.
Was,
like,
there
well,
was no...
It really doesn't count because it was just oral. Oral doesn't
yes,
count.
Yes, oral doesn't rich count.
Fine. Rich fine.
Oral counts? Does oral count? Does making out with someone else count?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well then it would definitely cheated on him then.
I will not touch that subject today.
Yeah,
so, I can't.
But see, this,
I can.
This goes back to my self-esteem, right? Like, I get so jealous and so possessive, but yet I'm the only one that ever stepped out. So, like, is that an indicator? Like, there's also that fear. Like, not only am I afraid of this love, but am I also worthy of what he has to offer, knowing that this is my past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say the greatest predictor of your future is your history. Right? And I believe that in some cases. And so now my fear is, because I had such an amazing boyfriend, my only boyfriend, so good to me, right? Am I going to be that same person again for someone else?
Well, the thing is that you have to be willing to be open to it, because otherwise you'll never find out.
But see, that's the thing. I'm okay not finding out right now. Like, that's the part that scares me. Like, there's a part of me, LG, and I am okay with not finding out. Like, of course, I would love to be in love, but I'm also okay with not finding out right now, because, like, things are so good, right? Anyways, you're going to say something.
So, I get what you're saying. I totally get it. And one thing does not take away from the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If that's something that you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But every subconsciousness of you and everything that I've heard from you.
It's selfish.
It's like, I want to, but I'm scared.
That too.
And here's the thing, like, okay, so before Marcos, I was
just happy.
Well, yeah. That is true. I'm happier with him, don't get me wrong, like, I'm still happy with him, but I was trying to date, right? Mm-hmm. And by date I mean one night stands.
Yeah, well,
but I wanted something serious.
With a one night stand.
Of course, yeah, because I'm delusional like that.
I'm convinced I'm Pretty Woman Julia Roberts. Sign me up.
Yeah, except I do kiss.
Yeah. Big mistake.
So,
huge.
So here's the thing. Like, so what I caught myself doing, and especially with two of them that I really, really liked.
She said, but two of them.
This is what I did. Okay. So at first, I'm, you know, Mrs. Sane, Mrs. Mental Health, Mrs. Like, I've worked on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't text me for like 2 days. And Psycho Bitch came out.
Yep.
And I sent texts that put them in a position to where, like, bitch, this is not what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So needless to say, they've never called me again.
I love this.
So I even in this process before finding Marco, I had to learn that I had no boundaries, that if there's something that I wanted, I needed to work towards that and not say, like, well, let's fuck for one night and then you have to marry me now.
Because
mm-hmm. I can even use the express where you got me pregnant. I don't have that excuse. I cannot trap them like that. God knows how many guys I would have trapped.
Right? God almighty.
But at the end of the day, what we're trying to portray is these are our struggles when it comes to accepting love, being open to love, and the things that we are doing today to make sure that we are being loved, and not only by, you know, others, but how can I love myself enough to allow others to love me? Maddie, what would you close with today with everything that we said?
Just don't be so defensive. It's just love.
No, I said, what would you say to our listeners, not to you?
Oh, wow. So I would say, no, I mean, I think that it's okay to take the time that you need to make these decisions, right? You're not, I hate this idea that just because you're not open to love, you're selling yourself short, right? Like, that's not what we said today, but that's the thing out there in the world, right? Like, just because we're not chasing these relationships, or we're not in a healthy relationship, or because we're not trying to pursue this, like, doesn't mean that we are the problem, right? There are people out there that are living just fine without it. I'm one of them, right? I have zero complaints other than I wish my mom was still here, right? That's the only thing I could ever wish for. Like, I'm not wishing for any of this, and it just keeps happening, right? It's like, I need to be open to these things, right?
So what I would like to add to that is this, is that it's not only about receiving love from the romantic aspect of it. It's allowing yourself to let others love you. Mm-hmm. It's allowing friends, family, coworkers, you know, like people that you deal with every day. It's allowing them to love you to the best of their ability and understanding that, for example, we talked to this about with Maddie, and my love language is touch. Yours mm-hmm. is speech, mm-hmm. right? You like to say it. I like to, like, to express it.
I like to say it. I like to give you reasons why. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And to me, it's like if I grab your hand, if I rub your shoulder, and it doesn't have to be in a sexual manner.
No,
you know,
no,
like
no.
Like when we were in the doing our nails, like I kept on putting my hand on your lap, which she didn't like because they were drilling my nails. So there's like a lot of dust. Anyways, so but like that's my love language. Yeah. You know what I mean? And what I needed to learn is that not everyone expresses their love the way that I do. So can I accept the way that they love me, mm-hmm. even if it's not the same way that I express my love? Mm-hmm. And I'm worthy of being loved. I'm worthy of somebody saying, you know what? I care about you and I want to be a part of your life. Romantically, family-wise, or friendship-wise, it's okay to be loved. But I needed to love myself first in order to allow other people to love me. And if you're not looking for a romantic relationship, that's okay. Because it is not paramount for your existence. Mm-hmm. It is helpful. And it's being known that people that are in long-term relationships live longer. You know what I mean? So we do need that companionship. But it's like Maddie said, it's when you're ready for it and when you're open to it. And if you're not open to it, ask yourself, why am I close to this idea? Why am I not allowing myself to be loved? And if you have valid reasons, then of course. But if there's any work that you need to do to be able to allow somebody else to love you, then look into that as well. You know, we're just throwing a topic there for you guys to discuss. If you guys want to give us feedback on it, we're always open to it. And we love you. We wish you a great 2025. This will be our year. Big things are coming.
Don't say that every year.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. I said that last year, and girl, I had my vision board mm-hmm. that me and Tay invited me to one event with her, and we created this vision board. I swear to you, only like one thing or two things on that vision board did not come through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I worked hard for them. And this year, I know it's going to be my year, because if I do everything that I'm supposed to, and I will do everything that I'm supposed to, I'll end up with my AA at the end of this year, mm-hmm. which is huge for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I know that this will be a great year because I'm willing to enter this year and allow others to love me. With that said,
I think that I'm not going into it with any more expectations. You know, sorry, we're closing out. Yeah. Anyways, that's it. I'm not going in with any more expectations. You know, I'm just going to keep doing the next right thing. And the pieces are going to fall where the good Lord Almighty wants them to fall.
So for myself, it's not expectations, it's hope. You know what I mean? I'm not expecting things to happen.
But isn't hope a version of expectations?
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I don't. But the way that I see hope, this is the thing. The way that I see hope is that I don't need to see it to believe it.
No,
you know
I mean,
what I mean? An expectation is it has to happen.
Yeah.
Like this has to happen. For me, it doesn't have to happen next year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to happen the year after. For me, hope tells me that good things are coming. And sometimes they don't come the way that I think they're going to come.
When you say, I hope this happens, that's an expectation.
I hope that this year will be a good year.
So that's, you're putting an expectation on it.
An expectation would be, I expect this year to be good, and I sit on the couch and expect everything to come to me. Hope means that I get my butt up every day, go to work, go to school, and do the shit that I need to. Because here's the thing, there's certain...
So you're saying hope is an action.
Yes, definitely. Hope. Hope cannot be just like you praying to God, no. God, get me a job, and then lay
but
on your couch.
The action is that you're doing something about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where the expectation is not.
That's what I said. I didn't say hope was an expectation.
That, can we rewind this and show this bitch where she said hope is expectations?
I said it was a form of.
Replay.
A form of.
In the Gospel of Rihanna. Mr. DJ Pond on the replay.
right.
But with that said,
love you all. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas.
This has been Trans Experience, and this is LG.
Oh, and this is Madison. I sounded so negative today, don't I?
You do not sound negative.
Negative. No, I'm not.
And we're done.
Okay, bye.
We did it.
We did. Finally. I really sounded negative. I wasn't being negative. I love love. I don't have it right now. Except for family and friends and you and nails and cats. Oh my God, my cats, I love them.
We know you do. And now we finished.
You did! Hey, thanks for tuning into Trans Experience. The trans experience is a human experience, and together, we can create a world where every story matters. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and connect with us wherever you stream your podcast.
Until next time, we'll keep celebrating our humanity, breaking barriers, and living life boldly. Stay kind, stay real, and we'll see you next month.